Good evening and welcome to the Franchise Tag Podcast with me, your host, Freddie Hall. Andrew and Adam have returned for free agency frenzy, Monday madness. It has been a crazy last hour or so. It is going to come thick and fast. Let's get into this straight away. There is so many things that are happening today. We're going to cut and change. We're going to talk about some of the stuff that's happened. We're not going to focus about the people who have re-signed. But the biggest one, and I'm so glad, Andrew, you decided to come on this evening. Former Giants star running back Saquon Barkley is planning to sign with the Philadelphia Eagles.
Is that a fact?
Per Mike Garofalo, nothing has been formally and from Ian Rapoport. He's reached an agreement, 3 years, $37.75 million contract that could be worth up to $46.75 million, includes $26 million guarantees. That is per Adam Schefter on Twitter. My eyes are going to be here, there, and everywhere. Andrew, live reaction straight away to that.
I mean, I was hoping it was going to be the Texans, anywhere but the Eagles. Obviously, we've got an Eagles fan, Gareth, and are part of the podcast, and we spoke about this
before. He is going to love that.
And I was adamant that he wouldn't go there. I thought he still had enough love for the Giants. The fans still like him, that he wouldn't go to the Eagles. But I guess some money talks, and I guess Super Bowl rings talk as well, because you know they're going to be in the conversation, especially with him if he's fit to push for that. So I'm guessing, you know, that fair play to him. I'll always like him, but maybe they bring on Boston Scott when they play us and leave him on the bench. That would be nice.
Adam, I mean, the season last year, 2023, of 962 yards, six touchdowns in 14 games, caught for 280 yards, four touchdowns. I mean, what is your live reaction to that? Giants lose Saquon, Cowboys lose Tony Pollard, and then Eagles add Saquon Barkley. Adam Schefter has just tweeted that just then.
Yeah, the Giants have just lost their offense to their biggest rivals, I'd argue. Yeah, that's not great news. The Eagles needed it, didn't they? They needed to do something to improve, especially with Swift gone. So I must admit, I'm surprised that Barkley's gone there. I thought he would go somewhere else. I had the Bears down for him. You know, the Bears have been coming out saying that they were going to really go for it, and they haven't. They bought in Swift, but I don't really feel like that's going for it. So a bit surprising. Yeah, that's it's going to be tough, I think, for a lot of Giants fans to swallow that one.
It's more than tough. I mean, that is huge. I'm sorry, Andrew. I feel like I am sort of ripping into you about. I'm not ripping into you intentionally, I suppose. It's just, of all the places to go, this hurts the most, surely, going to the Eagles. I mean, the Cowboys maybe would have hurt more.
Yeah, I mean, after the dominoes started to fall today of seeing all the running backs starting to move, the shortlist kind of came down to Texans and Eagles kind of requirements. So, yeah, I was hoping on it being the Texans, who I'm really surprised they haven't made a move yet for one of the bigger guys, maybe Eckler for them, I don't know. But you know, there's been rumblings about this prior. There's been a lot of people talking about they're in on him. Apparently, Gareth said that there was a few teammates that have been in contact with him as well. So it's not a shock, but it's just not where I wanted it. And it now leaves me in a position as a Giants fan going, where does this leave our franchise as well? Because, you know, we've got so many holes, and the run game for us was kind of our offense. So It sounds like a bit of a tanking year to me if it's going that way. So yeah, it's not looking great for us at the moment. Fingers crossed for the draft or maybe some big trades for us. I don't know.
Well, like I said, this episode is going to be thick and fast. We're hopefully going to do one tonight, one tomorrow, and Wednesday, pending, you know, whether we can all get together and be able to get on. We'll definitely be back tomorrow, that's for sure, with more action hopefully happening. Make sure you do leave some comments while we're doing these as well, because we'd really love to hear from you about your thoughts on these moves as well. Like I said, it's going to become thick and fast. We're going to talk about some of the ones that have happened in the last hour, in the last day or so. And also talking about the breaking news as it comes. And one of the big breaking news that did happen, Adam, while we were just setting up to go, was that Kirk Cousins signed a four-year deal with the Atlanta Falcons. Yet to be confirmed, I think, of what his contract is going to be outside, you know, money-wise, outside of 4 years there. That has an offense now of Kirk Cousins, Bijan Robinson, Kyle Pitts, Drake London. It was heavily rumored that maybe they would be looking at Justin Fields, a trade for him. But not overly surprised they've gone for a quarterback, but Kirk Cousins being one, is that a surprise to you?
Not really, no, because Adam had a bet on it. So happy days. no, I'm not overly shocked that he's gone there. It feels like that's the missing piece on that offense. They've got everything around them. The reason they couldn't do anything was because Desmond Ridder just wasn't very good. They needed to bring in a quarterback. There was a lot of talk about Fields. I actually think Fields would have been okay there, personally. I think it probably would have worked out. But Kirk Cousins was the premium free agency quarterback. They've gone all in. Arthur Blank isn't getting any younger, and I think he wants to get a ring, doesn't he? So it kind of makes sense as to why they've gone for it. But yeah, I think great. It's going to be great for them, great for all their weapons. And a little bit surprising that the Vikings have kind of given him up. We'll have to see how much the money is. That's probably what it is, to be honest, because they didn't want to give him a long-term contract. He's still 35, four-year deal will be 39. So it's, you know, you've got lots of players playing on till then. So, yeah, I think it's going to be really good for the Falcons in a fairly, not a particularly amazing division. And kind of almost, I would argue, puts them close to being favourites for that division now.
Oh, I think that's for sure. They must definitely be favourites now. I mean, that does leave one question, Andrew, and that is your beloved Justin Fields. I mean, it's all about that the Bears are going to take Caleb Williams at number one spot. Justin Fields, it's rumoured that he may be getting traded to the Steelers. Then it was rumoured he was maybe going to be traded to the Falcons. And now he's still in Chicago. I thought he was going to be like the first domino to fall when moves started happening. And yet it still hasn't happened yet.
No, I was in the firm camp that Cousins was the key piece. He was by far the best quarterback available in the free agency. So it was going to be wherever he decided to go, then all the teams would then follow because everyone would have wanted him. You know, he's super accurate and we know what he can do with the ball, obviously, with his time at the Vikings. So he was the piece for me. Fields is a gamble, really, isn't he? Because they've got to pick up the fifth year, maybe give him a contract. There's quarterbacks in the draft. There's still some question marks. So the question marks then lead you to go, well, we know what we're getting with Russell Wilson. We know what we're getting with Kirk Cousins. We're still unsure what we're getting with Justin Fields. So I think that now leaves Raiders and Seahawks as a possibility going forward for Fields. I think I like him at the Seahawks. I think I said that before they did the Geno Smith deal to say he'd be coming back. I thought he'd be perfect to go there and take over. But yeah, this team's running, quarterback needy teams are now running out, aren't they? Especially when there's six quarterbacks in this draft that could potentially live up to franchise standards. So yeah, it's a surprise Justin Fields is still there, but in a way, not shocked.
Just announced by Ian Rapoport that it's a four-year deal worth $180 million. That's $45 million average per year. He gets $90 million over the first 2 years and $50 million to sign. So a big deal, a very big deal. I don't know where that puts him in terms of pay quarterbacks in the league, but I'm sure that information will come out fairly shortly, I can imagine. Adam, where does this now, with one eye looking towards April and the draft, where does this leave the Minnesota Vikings now, who have got a stud wide receiver, a really good number two, an all right defense, a developing defense, and a division that is sort of tough? You know, you got Jared Goff in there, Lions looking good, Jordan Love looking really good over at the Packers, and them only strengthening. We'll get on to it a bit about Josh Jacobs potentially going to the Packers as well, where it seems all but done. And then the Bears looking like they're going to try and get their franchise quarterback, and they're adding pieces today in the form of DeAndre Swift and other players, I can imagine, soon as well.
Yeah, it's difficult, isn't it? I mean, we did say this when we were doing one of the mock-to-mocks just recently, that we kind of feel it's almost rebuild time. You know, they're in a tough division. Like you say, all of them three teams are sort of trying to compete or feel like they're going for it now. And it kind of feels that it's going to be tough for the Vikings to be able to do that, especially without Kirk Cousins at quarterback. I would assume that the plan is the draft, to bring someone in during for the draft. There's been loads of talk about JJ McCarthy. I know that you mentioned one just before we came on air about Sam Darnold, which would be a bit of a left field kind of choice. But then maybe the idea is to have him to compete with the rookie, and just sort of like see how that goes. But yeah, it's... if you were TJ Hockenson or you were Justin Jefferson, you would probably be a little bit like, what is going on at the moment? Because that's not great for them. And as you say, defensively, they are kind of, they're not quite there yet. They need a few more players to come in to make them better. So yeah, tough times for the Vikings at the moment, especially with Cousins gone now.
Funnily enough, as you say, that Andrew Van Ginkle, former Dolphins linebacker, has just signed a 2-year deal with the Vikings.
We're going to need some.
Yeah, well, it's not a huge deal. It's not a huge player, I admit, but it is reinforcing it, I suppose. We'll stick on the quarterbacks, and obviously we'll go to a certain team in Pennsylvania, being the Pittsburgh Steelers. I know this is old news now, not really official yet either, but... Russell Wilson looking like he's going to be signing with the Pittsburgh Steelers. I can imagine that will probably be announced today, as well as it's looking like it's going to be a 1-year deal, Andrew. Obviously, very cheap. We went over this last podcast. We'll talk about that. I'll quickly just look at YouTube, because our good friend Kerry has got a question for you. And it's, how do you feel about Saquon going to his division rivals on the and it's the second highest running back contract in history? Do you feel like you should have paid all that money? I mean, with the rate running backs are sort of lasting these days, and then we'll move on to Russell Wilson.
I mean, we've already spoke about Saquon. You're just rubbing it in now, aren't you?
don't blame me, Blake Carey.
We've kind of put ourselves in a situation where we've got people that we're going to have to pay. Obviously, Daniel Jones is getting paid. So to put all your money into a running back is something that Sean said that he's not willing to do. And as I said, it does feel a little bit like we're maybe looking at maybe 2025, 26 of going, you know, maybe that might be a time for us to look at seeing if we can go back to that double digit wins again, and seeing what we can get from our youngsters at the moment. Because unless, like I said, we're not done yet. The free agency's just started. You never know. The Giants might make some swings and bring in some pieces. Committee backfield has been a big thing for teams now. So you might be able to get something from the run game in bringing in another rookie and bringing a couple of lesser paid running backs and building around that, and, you know, not risking one getting injured and your season being over. Mm.
Yeah, I'd be looking at someone like AJ Dillon, to be honest with you, when we talk about someone who could play a little bit less for and we know that can play. But back to Russell Wilson, Andrew. Looking like 1-year deal, obviously very cheap deal that we talked about on last week's pod. What are your thoughts about him going over to the Pittsburgh Steelers?
Yeah, it's a perfect landing spot. I think I've been saying it for weeks now that's where he needs to go. It makes perfect sense in every aspect, in the way that you're a defensive-minded team. You've got the defensive head coach who's a big personality. When he goes into that team, he's not Russell Wilson, the savior of the Pittsburgh Steelers. You know, he's going in there and he's got TJ Watt, Minka Fitzpatrick, you know, Mike Tomlin, who he can't be a diva, because they're just not going to accept it. They're the stars. You know, he's not there like that. And then he's also now got a bit of, you know, you look after the defense. Maybe I can, as Russell Wilson, look after the offense a bit more and have my way a little bit, which is when he's produced the goods in the past, when he's sort of allowed to freelance a little bit. So you just needed to upgrade slightly at quarterback. And why I think Russell Wilson last season wasn't bad. You know, he wasn't the 32nd worst quarterback in the league, was he? So nice fit. You've got some lovely young receivers, great tight end. Your O-line is average, which is fine, which is good, and two really, really good running backs there that can help him out. So perfect landing spot for him, and he doesn't need to be the savior. And if it's not going to go wrong quickly, because we know the defense keeps you in games and you don't lose that many.
Yeah, I think I sort of talked about this on the podcast last week, that I was completely thrilled and would have you know, bit your hand off if you told me 3 years ago or 2 years ago that we'd be getting Russell Wilson, because he was at that point my favorite non-Steeler player. We said it was going to happen, Adam. It's not officially happened, so to speak, but it is going to be happening now. What's the future then hold for Kenny Pickett over there at the Pittsburgh Steelers? Is this going to be a sit and learn opportunity, or is this going to be what's his future looking like?
I mean, he should be. He's got a great opportunity to learn, hasn't he? This is what it should be. There's no need to get rid of him. There's you can just keep him there. He can sit. He can learn behind a Super Bowl winner. What more could you want, to a certain extent? So it's like he would be ideal to have there. And so yeah, it's great for him. He just needs to. I suppose to a certain extent, he needs to understand that it hasn't worked and that he needs to sort of like go back to basics and have someone like Russell Wilson to be able to help him out and get him to become better at his job. So that's certainly one thing that can be. I mean, it is just a 1 year deal. That doesn't mean that he won't sign another one with the Steelers next year, but it is just a 1 year deal at the moment. So it doesn't mean that it's the end for Pickett. But I think it's just, He has to take this as the opportunity that it is. As long as he sees it in the right way, and as long as the sort of Pittsburgh coaching staff can sort of show him that this is the right thing to do and see and to sort of like improve for the future, then it can only be a positive for him. And hopefully he'll be able to kick on when he gets the opportunity again.
Well, yeah, I'm hoping he definitely kicks on for the Steelers. I mean, I think this really puts us in a position to make a good playoff run now. I think with that, we now jump into the conversation of we are a very solid defense. We've got some good weapons, and now we have a competent quarterback there. It's all about hopefully if Arthur Smith's offensive schemes work and we keep up the pace of how we've looked the last few years. So, yeah, hopefully it's a lot more fortunate than it was in Denver. But we will go on to... I'm going to upset Andrew, but we're going to go back to the running back position because there is more running back movement happening, not live as we speak, but as today. We've seen, like I said, Josh Jacobs looks like he's going to be going to the Packers, yet to be absolutely confirmed yet. We've seen DeAndre Swift sign a 3-year deal with the Chicago Bears for $24 million. We've seen Tony Pollard go to the Tennessee Titans on a 3-year deal for $24 million as well. I can't see anything else at the minute with other running backs. But we'll stick with Adam, I think, I suppose, because first we'll talk about Josh Jacobs. When I said that to you, you were a little bit surprised of this move. Obviously, you're losing AJ Dillon. Yeah, why are you surprised that the Packers have, you know, your team have gone out and got Josh Jacobs?
Because we never do this. we don't buy anyone. It's like, this is why it's surprising. Free agency is normally a bit of a non-event, apart from maybe a few like sort of pieces to just pad out the team sort of thing. So to go out and bring in a top running back like Jacobs is a bit of a surprise. It shouldn't be a surprise. LaFleur, when he was at Tennessee as the OC, he had Derrick Henry. He's always come out and said he wanted a bit, you know, a decent sort of like running back duo. It's always something that he's come out and said. And so because of that, we shouldn't be shocked about it. But I suppose now is probably the only time he's been able to do it, because Aaron Rodgers has always been the one controlling the offense. So I think because of that, you might start seeing a slightly different offense with Green Bay, with the running backs that can do stuff, maybe leaning on the run a bit more, but also having Love to be able to do all the passing stuff as well. So I think in that way, it's good. It's exciting that he's come in. He was one of the most sought after running backs in free agency. So it's good in that respect, but it definitely is different to what the Packers normally do.
Adam, you say that you're not usually involved in free agency. Bakhtiari's been released. Darnell Savage is gone. John Runyon's.
Oh, we always get rid of people.
That's a lot. That's three quite big names that have been there quite a while now that have left.
Yeah, so Bakhtiari, obviously, he just can't stay fit. That's something that I think we all thought was going to be happening. That's not really much of a shocker. What I would say is New York Jets, enjoy him if you can get him fit, because I imagine he will be going to the Jets now. Savage, I think there's a lot of safeties. Yeah, he's gone to
the Jags.
The Jags, right. So, again, I think he's a capable safety, but I think for a team that is probably looking to actually compete now, I don't think he's good enough. There's a lot of talk about Xavier McKinney, and that's one that apparently they want to go for. But there's also quite a lot of safeties just in general in this free agent class. So I do wonder if the logic is to go out and get another one. And Runyon, it's O-line, isn't it? I mean, it's a very strong O-line class in the draft this year. And I just wonder if that's what they're going to do, because they always do. You know, that's just, it's O-line, D-line, isn't it, all the time. So I think that's the logic behind them. So I kind of understand why they've all gone. But yeah, I mean, we always get rid of a few. It means we can get some more compensation picks, doesn't it? So, you know.
Well, Runyon's actually gone to Andrew's New York Giants.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we did say, I mean, I've been saying they need help on the O-line. You seem to think they're all right, but...
I said they were great at left tackle. Guard is definitely a position that we need. So he fills in lovely at right guard, if that's where he's going to play.
Well, yeah, he's gone on a three-year deal to the Giants for $30 million. We'll go back to running backs, though. And Andrew, Tony Pollard now out of your division, going to the Tennessee Titans, looking to replace Derrick Henry over there, obviously. What's your general feeling about that? I mean, he's a player that was always not in the limelight because of Ezekiel Elliott. And then it was like, well, hang on, every time he plays, he's better than Zeke. And then he gets the limelight and the Cowboys aren't interested in keeping him. So it's a bit of a shame he's not really been, because he's been very, very good for the Cowboys, hasn't he?
Well, I think we're led into a bit of a false sense of security with people like him. I think I found with Pollard and with Alexander Mattison as well, that Pollard especially, that Zeke took a lot of the ball and was a bit of the bell cow and took all of them. And then once he'd worn down defences, Pollard came in with one big, he hasn't played all game, one big explosive run. They're all knackered. And it made him look better than maybe he was, and wasn't ready to carry a team as the lead running back and be that guy that wears the defense down. He's more of that guy you can bring in, and he's explosive and talented and good that way. I'm just not sure he's your lead RB1 for a team. Unsure. I thought Spears played quite well at the back end of the year and flashes of real good parts for him. So, yeah, a bit shocked that Pollard's the one that they've brought in to replace, if it is replaced for Henry. I think it might, again, maybe they're thinking of going in a different direction, maybe move away from that we just run the ball tactic and go to the committee back that a lot of teams are moving to. We said, Adam especially, gone are the days where you had a Henry or a Saquon that just does everything for you. And it is a way to save some money slightly as well, because you're not paying massive amounts of money just for one guy. So opens your offense up to a bit more as well. But a bit of an odd one, because I do think he's an explosive RB2, not an RB1.
And then that moves on to, again, what some may consider an explosive RB2, not an RB1, but he definitely had a very good season for the Philadelphia last year, Adam. That was DeAndre Swift. Obviously, they've made up for the Philadelphia Eagles, but he's gone off to the Chicago Bears, who have now got Roshon Johnson, Swift, and Khalil Herbert. So quite a trio of running backs over there. The Bears, yet again, last year, lots of moves in free agency, yet again, doing free agency moves again. What do we think of Swift going to the Bears for 3 years, $24 million?
Yeah, I was a little surprised. They've got a lot of cap space. They obviously are going to be drafting Caleb Williams, and it just kind of felt like they were going to go. There was a lot of talk about, right, we're going to go for it now. We've got a decent defense that proved at the back end of last year that they are very capable. They obviously have DJ Moore, but they don't really have much else. And it kind of felt like that was going to be addressed in the draft, and they were going to address maybe like a strong running back in free agency and have sort of like Khalil Herbert or Roshan as sort of like behind the guy, which is why I think Saquon seemed like an obvious one for them. I think that Josh Jacobs seemed like an obvious one for them. Obviously, if they really wanted to go for a vet, they could have gone for Derrick Henry, something like that. So, you know, these guys were kind of like the ones that made the most sense. Swift hasn't really panned out amazingly well. He did okay for the Eagles, but the fact that he's basically done 1 year and they've moved him on tells you a lot. He did okay at the Lions, but again, they moved him on, and it just kind of feels like he's not a guy who's going to really move the needle. And I think that that's probably the thing that was a little bit surprising to me. But yeah, I mean, I think now you've got three guys there who I suppose can all help each other, and sort of like you can rotate them in. So with that respect, I think it helps. But the, I wouldn't say he's the lead back there. I think it's like, I think it's going to be a free for all.
Well, let's also talk about some of the guys who are still out there, I suppose, because I've just got up the 101 top free agents for NFL.com doing. I've gone on to running back specifically, number one, Saquon gone. Obviously, we've still got Derrick Henry out there. Andrew, do you think there's what sort of team would be looking at maybe Derrick Henry now?
There's two teams I think that's going to be on that radar. It's going to be the Baltimore Ravens and the Dallas Cowboys, isn't it? They've both openly said, well, we now know that the Cowboys definitely need to bring someone in, and the Ravens as well will be losing Gus Edwards and J.K. Dobbins, won't they? So, and they love a running back. So it's got to be one of those two that I think, you know, they're both massive contenders for the Super Bowl and make that run. So going after King Henry would definitely be the right move for either of those franchises.
Can I just say, does it not have to be the Cowboys now? Like, the Cowboys have to get someone in.
Yeah. Well,
they're getting Austin Eckler.
Yeah, but I see, the thing is, I wouldn't say Eckler's going to move the needle against Pollard. Eckler seems like he's running out of juice. It's like, I feel like, you know, they want to win, don't they, now? Isn't that where they are? I mean, they have to get Henry.
Go on, Andrew.
Well, I was going to say, equally, the Ravens need to get someone as well, don't they? I know they've...
Well, I don't know, because you've seen with the Ravens that they've coped, haven't they, with what they've got. Whereas for, I feel like now that Pollard is gone, it's almost like there is no one.
Yeah, I mean, the Cowboys makes the obvious sense. I think the betting before it even opened had them at the second, very short odd second favourite. So, yeah. And now, like I say, Pollard's gone. So it makes sense. And it's that splashy, you know, sparkly player that the Cowboys would definitely go for. Means they can go boring O-line in the draft as well. So they've got to make some show and have a big superstar come in. So I just worry about the fact that you're going to have to pay Henry quite a lot, and they're paying Dak, they're paying CD, they'll be paying Parsons. That's a lot of money they're going to need to go out. So I would question whether they can what they can afford, because that would be quite a hefty contract, I would have thought.
So then you'd have Saquon Barkley, Derrick Henry, Brian Robinson in the NFC East, because Antonio Gibson's gone as well.
Yeah, but you're not saying that the Commanders are finished yet, are they? They might bring someone in as well. I think you got Singletary still available. He had an absolutely fantastic year at the Texans. So still a few names out there.
What about Eckler? I mean, Eckler's the second. There's a top eight they've got here, and one, Barkley's gone, Henry's two, Jacobs we know, Pollard we know, Swift we know. So it's Eckler, Dobbins and Singletary, the last three. And I don't think Singletary and Dobbins are going to be starters anywhere, but I think Eckler is definitely going to be starters somewhere. Where could we see him going? Everyone's been saying the Chiefs. Everyone's been saying the Chiefs. I'm not so sure about that, personally.
Adam, have you got any thoughts on this? I've maybe got one.
Eckler's a really tough one. I mean, I kind of get the logic of the Chiefs, because I think the theory is that it's the replacement for McKinnon, isn't it? Is the kind of logic behind that. I just don't know where they're going to go. I think that the Chargers need a running back. They really do. And I just, I do wonder, I know he's on the Chargers, but I just wonder whether they bring him back and then they try and just go through the draft and bring in running backs. Because I just don't know who pays for him after last year. It's like he kind of took the gamble on himself, didn't he? And it just didn't really work. And now it just feels like, are they really going to want to go for it? I don't know. But I feel like you want to tell me something.
Adam Schefter, 1910, after reaching an agreement today with free agent running back Josh Jacobs, the Packers inform running back Aaron Jones that he is being released.
Oh, wow. Okay. Free. Wow.
I mean, that is going to continue into our running back chat, I suppose. So we'll try and make it more running back focused than Packers focused, and then let you have a Packer rant about it in a minute. I mean, we just talked about Eckler and the market for him. Jones, very similar player. Very similar player. I mean, what's the market for him now hitting free agency?
Well, the Giants are going to be needing one of them, aren't they? So I could easily see Eckler going to the Giants. I thought the Bears would be a great one for Eckler. I think Giants maybe come in for him. Again, I also think that I've said again, the Texans will bring someone in. I think they, if Singletary doesn't re-sign, Pierce isn't the answer, is he? So that leaves them nothing at running back. So they definitely need to strengthen in there as well.
Okay, well, we'll finish the running back chat and we'll go on to a Packer chat about this, Adam. What's the feeling, mate?
Yeah, it's surprising again, and it goes along with the surprising of bringing in Josh Jacobs. It's a shame. It's a shame that he's gone. I suppose he's older. He is 29. So in that respect, you can kind of understand it, that they've gone for a slightly younger running back. But it's a shame given the fact that I think you could argue that there was a remarkable improvement in the offense of the Packers because of him coming back and being healthy. I can only assume that they just feel that he's not going to be able to be healthy for a whole season. And that's the, why they've done it. I could imagine him at the Chargers, definitely. So that wouldn't shock me at all. But yeah, shame given how good he's been. Yeah.
A little Aaron Jones, Blake Corum duo, you know, maybe.
You never know.
Maybe they're thunder and lightning there going on. Apparently, according to Ian Rapport, apparently talks broke down. So I assume maybe they were trying to, you know, change the contract up, maybe a new deal that's already.
Yeah, there was a lot of talk about that they didn't want to pay. Basically, they didn't want to pay the money that Jones wanted, and so. Because of they were sort of coming at him with like, look, you're a bit older, yada yada yada, and all that sort of stuff. But yeah, I'm guessing that's all it is. It's just the money, and so they've just moved on. But you know, I suppose you can't keep them all forever, can you?
we will get on to some defensive players in a moment, but we will have to talk about T. Higgins, who yesterday has asked for a trade after being franchise tagged by the Bengals. Obviously, we'll keep on the offensive side of the ball at the minute. I mean, he's obviously in the shadow of Jamar Chase, isn't he? And he probably feels the way he's played and the way he played last year, and I think he's okay to feel this way, but he's a number one receiver and could be a number one receiver on a lot of teams in this league, Andrew. Who do you think is going to be going after someone like Higgins in the league and trading for him? And also, what's the value, you think, for him in terms of trading pieces?
Yeah, I think a lot of teams will see him as a possibility now. He's classed as a veteran, as someone that can come in as wide receiver one and maybe shore up a wide receiving core that's got a lot of young pieces. You know, surely the Chiefs will be rumbled to be looking at him, I would have thought. I think he'd be a nice piece to go with Rashee Rice as well. Obviously, they've been released Marquez Valdes-Scantling. Maybe they don't want to just give Mahomes a load of youngsters and bring in another rookie with that final pick in the first round. So I can see someone like the Chiefs maybe coming in. And the Jags obviously will need some more help if Calvin Ridley's leaving as well. I'm guessing the Giants will be as well thrown in the mix, as we do not have that style big body receiver as well.
And do you think the market's there for him, though, given the draft this year is a very, very heavily wide receiver and talented?
Yeah, it is something to be said for that. I mean, there's a ton of receivers that you can go for. I mean, the only thing that obviously Higgins has in his favour is that he's been here and he's done it and he's been a very good wide receiver. So that's probably enough in order to be able to get a deal. But whether it's a deal that he wants with the money that he wants might be a different thing. I don't know. I mean, there's a lot of talk about him and Pittman, wasn't there? Because they were the two franchise tag ones. He got 3 years, $71 million, I think it was. I don't know if a team is going to go for that, to be honest with him. I think he's worth it. I do. I like you say, there's a lot of wide receivers in the draft.
Do you think Panthers might do it? Obviously, Panthers haven't got the draft capital.
They might.
Definitely need a wide receiver.
It's just, what would they trade? Is it going to be player? Would it be player? I mean, you could go, because I think he's worth second round pick personally. I think
they've got Brian Burns still, haven't they?
Yeah, but they knew Brian Burns, where they've got two fantastic edge rushers.
They're not gonna win anything now. Burns is the obvious one to move on, isn't he? So I mean, I get what you mean from the Bengals side, but you know.
Well, we've got to give love to both sides of the ball, I suppose. So let's talk about some defensive players. So we've got Christian Wilkins, who joined the Raiders on a 4-year deal, $110 million, showing up at defensive line with Max Crosby over there. We've got Jonathan Grenard, former edge rusher for the Houston Texans, going to the Minnesota Vikings, 4 years, $76 million. And we have Chris Jones re-signed with the Chiefs. We sort of knew that was coming. Fletcher Cox retiring for the Philadelphia Eagles, but it's pretty good that they've started thinking about that forward rather than in retrospect, really, because they've been building towards that inevitability. But we'll stick with Christian Wilkins to begin with. Andrew, going to the Raiders. Obviously, Dolphins is just cap hell. They are releasing people left, right, and centre. They've not been able to keep anybody, but he's gone, you know, he's now one of the highest paid defensive tackles in the league now, Christian Wilkins. Obviously a big personality we get over here with NFL and NFL UK. He's on a lot of the coverage here when he's not playing. I mean, the Raiders feel like they've got a bit of direction here with this one. I feel like they've won here and they're really shoring up that defensive line.
Yeah, definitely. If you've seen any of our mock the mocks, and we've got down to the Raiders, we've been mocking them trying to take a defensive lineman in the draft as well, and saying that's an area that they really need help. I think both of their defensive tackles are both going to become free agents, so they didn't have anyone to support Max Crosby. So it's a perfect signing. And last season, you know, outside of Tyreek Hill, you'd probably say that Wilkins was probably their second best player on their roster. So that is a fantastic signing for them, and will definitely fill a team that we keep saying has got lots of holes. I know the fans keep saying they're a couple of pieces away from competing, but I still feel they've got lots of holes, and this leaves them now able to address a few more holes, having that stud in that position and not having to worry about that, because that is a key piece. If you can get pressure through that, Max Crosby is going to be dangerous as well, and that really, really helps them.
We'll stick with, there's just been one that's come up just now, Tom Pelissero and Ian Rapoport, but Blake Cashman, the linebacker for the Houston Texans, has signed with the Minnesota Vikings on a 3-year deal. Adam, you were just saying moments ago that the Vikings would need to focus on looking at defense. In the last two hours, we've had Jonathan Grenard sign their 4-year deal. We've now had Blake Cashman, we've had Andrew Van Ginkel. The money that's now freed up from Kirk Cousins, they seem to be investing straight away. Maybe not in sort of headline talent, but they're starting to reinforce a little bit, aren't they? They're starting to have a look at that, and they know they're going to need to have a strong defense if they're going to go and get a rookie quarterback.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's kind of what they need to do. I mean, Grenard is a good player to bring in. He had a really good season with the Texans. So to have him at edge rush is good. It does, there's a lot of talk about Danielle Hunter in there, whether he's going to be there or not. So that's going to be a bit of an issue. Maybe he's there to kind of replace him to a certain extent. But yeah, I mean, that defense, maybe they are going to become a more sort of like defensive team. They, like you say, they know they're going to need to do that. It is going to be a rookie quarterback, or at least a quarterback who is of less talent to what Kirk Cousins is. So scoring the points is going to be a lot harder this year coming up. So they know that they're going to have to do that. And of course, they've got the DC who is with the Steelers. He's there now, isn't he?
Oh, Brian.
Brian?
Flores.
Oh. Flores, Brian, that's the guy.
Brian Flores, that's the one.
Brian Flores, yeah. He's there now. So, yeah, I mean, when you think of how he always was with when he was head coaching, but it was always the defense that was really, really strong. You feel like that's going to be the way they're going to have to go. And I think Grenard's going to be a great piece for that.
Yeah, he should certainly be. Also, Justin Madubuike going back to the Ravens, 4-year, $98 million, $75.5 guaranteed. There's just another bit of news actually coming out. The Raiders is that Bilal Nichols has reached an agreement with former Raiders free agent Bilal Nichols, reached agreement on 3-year, $21 million deal that includes $14 million guaranteed with the Arizona Cardinals. That's another defensive player going somewhere. D tackles flying everywhere. I know we said we really wouldn't talk about the ones that re-signed, but Chris Jones, Justin Madubuike, Christian Wilkins, and Bilal Nichols, all defensive tackles that have seen movement today, Andrew. How important is it for the teams that they retained them players in Jones and Madubuike, and how exciting is it for these new teams? Because I feel like defense tackle position it's never gone away, but it sort of ebbs and flows the importance of it in a way, because edge rusher is such a flashy position these days.
Yeah, I think Aaron Donald's really changed the aspect of this position. It's become a lot more flashy and a lot more technical and a lot more athletic. And just it proves if you can get that position right, you can elevate your team so much more. So I think it has now become a little bit more, if you can get that right, your secondary will follow, because you're getting that more pressure. So there's going to be more mistakes. So I think there's a lot more value going into that. And that's why Madubuike and Jones have been valued more than a couple of the players. I think both teams, like Snead's going to be sacrificed. I think one of the guys in the secondary at the Ravens is going to be sacrificed. I think that just shows you that how the importance of getting that position right, and the secondary will follow. So spending the money and getting that right is definitely key to these teams. And they're two teams that, again, were pushing, won the Super Bowl and pushing for the Super Bowl. So, yeah, people should really take note of where to spend your money in the key places. And if you've got a guy that's good, try and keep him on the books. And they've both managed to do that, which is going to help them going into next year.
I'm just having a little flick through Twitter now just to see if there's any big rumours that may pop out of nowhere that might make me gasp or something that's might seem a bit wild, but it doesn't seem like there's much going on at the minute. So I'll refer back to NFL.com with the top 100. I mean, we've still got a lot of players out there yet to be signed. If I flip to the top, Danielle Hunter, Tyron Smith, Calvin Ridley, Michael Nwenu, Leonard Williams, Chauncey Gardner-Johnson, Xavier McKinney, Marquise Brown, Patrick Queen, Derek Henry, obviously Chase Young, which is a player that I think is going to be is going to be really sought after, I'd like to think, anyway. I mean, I wouldn't mind him at the Steelers at all. Eric Armstead is going to be released as well. They've said he's not going to be returning. They can't afford him. Lavonte David still has got a few miles left in the tank. Justin Simmons, Kenny Moore, Curtis Samuel. I mean, there's a lot. I mean, Julian, I'm going to have to take me a minute to pronounce this. Ula Eminor. The British guy who's defense tackle for the Raiders as well. Yeah, lots of players still to come. I mean, we're pretty much finishing up now this episode, and we'll be back tomorrow, like I said, because we're going to be hopefully doing these shows hopefully all week. Well, not all week, but for the next 3 days. Sorry that I'm leaning here and there. I've got an iPad here, Twitter, notes. I've got these guys on here. It's all been a lot of madness, and hopefully it will continue for the next few days. Andrew, Adam, thank you very much for tonight. I really appreciate it. This was a bit of a last minute idea that we were doing this, but it's all good fun, and hopefully we'll have a lot more exciting news coming in the next coming days. Enjoy for now, and we'll see you again tomorrow.